Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
What's good, everybody? What's good in the hood? It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com. Welcome, everybody. Merry Christmas and all of that good stuff. Happy holidays for the atheists. Shout out to LeVon Gates, who's watching the program. Also, shout out to my brother Jimmy Williams, my dude from, well, I won't say, but that's my man right there. That's my man. Shout out to everybody. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. It's the Ron Kelly Show. The very last Ron Kelly Show for 2019. You know, 2019 seemed like it flew by. We always say that, like, wow, the year flew by. No, it didn't. It just went the same way that it usually does. Shout out to you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everybody. And shout out to Jane Rain. You know, I promised that I would mention some of the new likes and some of the old likes too on the Ron Kelly Show. Shout out to Jane Rain, who lives in Eldoret. I believe that's in Kenya. Shout out to Elvis James Durham, the Prince of Patterson. And welcome, my brother. Thank you for joining me. Shout out to Jane Rain, who lives in Eldoret. I believe that's in Kenya, if I'm not mistaken. Maya Eaton, also shout out to Maya Eaton, who loves the Ron Kelly Show. She's from Lowell, Michigan. And G-Tez Fletcher, who is from Decatur, Alabama. You know, the Ron Kelly Show is like all over the place. You know, I look at some of the likes and the people from Texas and all over, you know, everywhere, even from Africa. So welcome, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Mike Burgess. I'll be rooting for your Giants Sunday. I don't know why. I should just give up because the Cowboys have been like the most horrible, horrendous team in all of football. You got the best. You got the best lineup that I've seen in 20 years, and they still suck. Anyway, thanks for joining me. Thank you, Mike Burgess, for checking me out. Shout out to Carolyn Miller. Hey, Carolyn, how you doing, my sister? Welcome, everybody. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. And shout out to the folks who I just highlighted who like the Ron Kelly Show, and everybody who's on the feed right now likes the Ron Kelly Show as well. So thank you so much for joining me today. Wow, you know, this is, you know, it's Christmas time. You know, the Christmas time is the highest, I believe it's the highest, the time where the most suicides take place, you know, during the holidays for some strange reason. I guess because, you know, things really, you know, I think that what happens is people really take a look at their lives when the holidays come. And if there's family issues and certain things going on, people just get depressed. But there's no way, you know, no, don't be depressed. And if anybody out there who's listening to Ron Kelly's show is considering checking out, you know, just make sure you call the suicide prevention hotline. You know, you can Google it, and there's so many different agencies who can help you, you know, help you not kill yourself. Okay, Angela Whitaker. Shout out to Angela Whitaker, who's watching the program. Shout out to Michael Maystack, my brother from Massachusetts. I think I'll be up there in a couple of weeks. I'll be in Boston, so I'm definitely going to holler at you. If I'm nearby, man, I'll definitely stop by and check you out. And happy, yeah, one love, my brother. Shout out to you. Shout out to Stephanie Freitas, who's the intended of Lamont Gates, and everybody who's checking in to the Ron Kelly Show. So, yeah, so this is the last Ron Kelly Show for 2019. 2020 is fast approaching. And, you know, this is a time where not just where people get sad, but this is also a time where New Year's resolutions take place. Everybody wants to, you know, oh, I'm going to go to the gym. Oh, I'm going to get rid of these people who are, you know, we do this, I think, every year where we come up with these, you know, New Year's resolutions. And I personally, you know, I've done it before in the past, but, you know, I've decided not to do it anymore. Just get going and work on what I need to work on. So shout out to everybody. You know, if you're still here, You know, you've survived the year. You know, God is good. Yeah, God is good, and you know, and just don't worry, because you know, there's, you know, me, I don't want to be on the internet. You know, I belong on BLS or someplace. But you know what? Until that happens, I'll continue to do my radio show here, the Ron Kelly Show, every Thursday night, 7 p.m. right here, where I really don't want to be on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, so a lot going on, like the lots going on. The impeachment nonsense is still going on, and you know, Trump is not going anywhere. So any of y'all think that Trump is going somewhere, Trump's not going nowhere, because there's no way he's going to be impeached. Now, there's a next Netflix special, the Gay Jesus. You know, and this is the reason of the season. I mean, you know, Christmas is about, I mean, depending on what your motivation is for religion. You know, Christmas definitely is a reason for the season. And me personally, you know, I don't want to like say happy holidays and stuff like that, because some people get offended when you say Merry Christmas, because, you know, for a lot of folks, Christmas is not about Christ. Christmas is about gifts and, you know, and fun and, you know, all the stuff that goes on during Christmas time. But for me, you know, Christmas is about the Lord. And you know, I'm grateful to God for getting me through. Well, there's 6 days left so far. I'm thankful to God for getting me through this year, which has been, you know, a little bit, you know, things have gone on. I mean, everything, things that I wanted to happen didn't necessarily happen. Some things did, some things didn't. I'm not disappointed because I'm still here. And if it's God's will, I'll be here next year to try to reach the peaks that I'm trying to reach. Okay, so on Netflix is a Gay Jesus. You know, where do they find these people? In Brazil. There's a comedy troupe who are, and this is going to be a Netflix special. It's called Gay Jesus Christmas Special. And people are like freaking out about this, because it just seems like there's no, you know, people are just going to do whatever it is they're going to do. And there's no, you know, everything is, especially now, 2019, you know, everything is allowable. Everything is acceptable now. And people just do whatever it is they want to do. And shout out to Shaw Williams. What's up, brother? Get off me on Facebook, by the way. But yeah, so there's a Christmas special that's coming up on Netflix called The Gay Jesus Christmas Special. And people are freaking out about this. As a matter of fact, in the place where this is being shown, somebody threw two gas bombs at the place. Now, nobody got hurt, but it's crazy. It's crazy. Now, this comes 3 weeks after Netflix released this special on December 3rd, The First Temptation of Christ. And what it says here is, in an indication of the widely disparate reaction to films made in a similar vein, a month or so after Porta do Fundos, that's the name of the troupe, they won an international Emmy for their Jesus-themed Christmas special, The Last Hangover, in which the disciples wake up after a Last Supper blowout where Thomas contributes hard drugs. But it's just, oh man. So 2.3 million signatures have been gathered to stop this thing from continuing to go on. So it's just one thing after another. Nothing is sacred anymore. So shout out to everybody who's watching the program. It's the Ron Kelly Show. You know what time it is. Every Thursday, 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. So there's a lot going on. And, you know, we're just a couple of days away from the new year. And, you know, at this time of year, you know, you're going to see all kinds of stuff. You know, and I talked a little bit earlier about how people make New Year's resolutions. And resolutions just don't work. If you're going to set a time, like, I'm going to do such and such, I'm going to go on a diet after I eat up the planet after Christmas and New Year's. I mean, you know, statistics have shown that when you try to set a date for what you're going to do, Yeah, thanks. You shout out to Lamont Gates. Thanks for reminding me. I have to check that film out. Yeah, it's on Netflix, the Gay Jesus Christmas Special. Oh my God, Gay Jesus. You know, the gay people are really, you know, they're making waves now. You know, the gay activism is, especially in the white community, and I know there's a lot of white people listening to the show. As a matter of fact, the three people I just talked about, well, one of them was black and the other two were white. There's a lot of white people who listen to the Ron Kelly Show. Thanks so much. But gay people have really, are a powerful weapon right now. I don't want to call them a weapon, but gay people are very powerful right now. And you see it on TV. You see, you know, so many different people who come out, people who are gay. And, you know, I know folks who listen to the Ron Kelly Show also go to church and all, and you know what God says about heterosexuals, that you shouldn't be a heterosexual. But here in America, gay people, and especially and overseas too, but here in America, gay people have really made some inroads as far as being elected officials, television, radio, you know, they're all over the place. I don't want to say they're all over the place, but there's been a real explosion in regards to an acceptance of gay folks here in the United States of America. And, you know, I don't really have a problem with people. I mean, be who you are. You know, I would say that if you're going to be gay, be gay. If you're going to be straight, be straight. But the thing that I have a problem with is undercover people who are married and you know, in their spare time they go out and they do things, like men who are married and in their spare time they go out and do things with other men. That I really have a problem with, you know. But I mean, but you can't have a problem with what people do, because people are going to do what they're going to do anyway, no matter whether I say anything about it or not. Lamont, look that up for me. You know what God says about, you know, as a matter of fact, I'll check it out, what God says about homosexuality. And, you know, it's as far as religion goes, you know, just homosexuality is just not accepted in the anybody who's religious does not accept homosexuality. Now there are religious groups who advocate for homosexuals. There are different groups where women are ministers, and you know, in the Catholic Church, women are not supposed to be ministers. So there's a lot of different groups who, practice this stuff, you know, because they can't get into regular church. Now, what the Bible says about, Lamont Gates about homosexuality. I have it here. There's a whole page full of stuff here. But at the heart of the claim that the Bible is clear that homosexuality is forbidden by God is poor biblical scholarship and a cultural bias read into the Bible. Now, this is what homosexuals say about homosexuality. Now, they're going to say that, you know, God never said that. Actually, what they're saying is there's only one reference to sexual behavior between men and women in Lamont Gates, and that is in Romans 1:26. The context of this reference has to do with Gentiles rejecting the true God to pursue false gods, idolatry, etc. And the sexual behavior described as orgiastic, not that of a loving, mutual, caring, committed relationship. What is condemned is the worship of false gods. So, you know, and see, I don't want to be, you know, to come out and say I'm against homosexuality. Shout out to Monkey, says I'd like to see what you bring. Yeah, what the Bible says is open to interpretation. You know, what people, you know, it's open to interpretation. Whatever a person thinks is what they think. So even if the Bible does say that man should not lay with man, like what it says in the Bible, then people are going to refute that. And they're going to say that, well, no, God didn't say that, which he actually did. Yeah, I'm opening up a can of worms. I'm at a can of snakes. You're right, because worms don't bite, but snakes do. But, you know, it's, you know, I believe in you know, in regular and traditional marriage. That's what I believe in. The man and a woman get married, have kids, et cetera, et cetera. That's what I believe, you know, Lamont Gates. Yeah, but it is right. It is open to interpretations, whatever people think. You know, so, you know, but here in America, you know, you have so many people who are out, and mostly in the white community, because in the black community, homosexuality is still frowned on in the black community, where people are like, no, you know, we ain't having that. We don't want that going down here. In the Caribbean, you know, you can get killed for it. So people are still, you know, in certain ethnic groups, some people are open to homosexuality. And in the black community, I know for sure that we are not as open to homosexuality as some of the other ethnic groups. No, but white folks have no, you know, I wouldn't say they don't have a problem with it, but I think they're more accepting of it than most people. And just in time, I need to take a break, Lamont Gates. Just in time, I need to take a break, so I'll come back and talk more about this and a few other things that I need to talk about here on the last Ron Kelly Show for the year 2019. So we'll take a quick break and come right back with more of this program. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All righty then, 20 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. Once again, Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you got whatever it is you wanted. I definitely got what I want. Well, not everything, but, you know, but I'm grateful for what I did get. I hope people who gave me gifts didn't hear that. But, okay, now let me just cover this. Lamont Gates is very detail-oriented, I'll say. Now, Paul was one of the disciples, and Paul's approach to homosexuality and homosexual acts reflects the assumption he shares with other Jews of his time, that all people are heterosexual because God created humans, male and female. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Now, feeling or acting otherwise is unnatural and against God's intent. An abomination Leviticus taught was worthy of death. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 20, and chapter 20, verse 13. And you could also check out Romans first chapter 32nd verse, Lamont Gates. Now, Paul typically focuses not just on the act of sinning, but on sin as a state of being. Accordingly, he condemns the action involved in same-sex relations, namely for males, anal intercourse, but he goes behind it to what he sees as the state of being which produces it. Thus, Paul argues that a perverted response to God led to people having a perverted response to each other, in particular, having passions toward their own sex. Paul's concern is not just pederasty, but also consensual sex. Romans chapter 1, verse 27. He probably saw intense passions producing the perversion. Like other Jews of the time, Paul extended this to lesbian relations. That can be found in Romans 1st chapter 26 verse. Although some scholars suggest that unnatural relations concerns birth control and non-procreative heterosexual intercourse, the context suggests that Paul is talking about same-sex relationships between women. In Paul's world, for a man to take a passive role, or a woman to take an active, for a man to take a passive female role, or a woman to take an active male role, was unnatural and shameful. Paul's contemporary, the Jewish philosopher Philo of Alexandria, shared Plato's argument that same-sex relationships were unnatural because they wasted semen and would depopulate cities. On this detail, Paul is silent, but he shares Philo's view that such relationships are unnatural because God made people only male or female. So there you go. So I did point out some Bible verses where you can find a more detailed response to what the Bible says about homosexuality. All right, it's 37 minutes before the hour. You're listening to the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. Once again, if you're still here, you know, don't fret, you're still here. I know this time of the year is very traumatic for a lot of people. So you start thinking about the mothers who are no longer here, the mothers, the fathers, the loved ones, the children who may have left before you did. So, you know, this time, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, highlights all the stuff that, you know, that has gone down, the loved ones lost, specifically loved ones lost. I took care of my mother during the holiday season, and, you know, and it does seem like the family just disappears when the family, some families, when the mother passes away, the family passes away, and the desire or the wish to be together on the holidays kind of disappears. I remember when my mother was alive, she passed away in 2007, God bless her. And we would always meet at her house during the Christmas season, Christmas and Thanksgiving. We would always visit with her and we would all go. So all the family would be together, you know, but since she passed away, you know, we rarely, you know, get together. So this time of year does remind us of especially of loved ones, mothers who have passed on, fathers, aunts, uncles, cousins, children, possibly. So, you know, this is definitely the time to not dwell on those things, as I try not to myself, try not to dwell on the losses of the people, who I've lost, you know, over my lifetime. Grandmothers and so on. But anyway, so, you know, this is the time where, and I'm not going to tell you to pray or anything like that, but this is definitely the time where we should all be grateful for the things that we have and the people we haven't lost, and not dwell on the people that we have lost. All right, 35 minutes before the hour, you're listening to the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show. .com. Lots of shooting, man. The shooting. I mean, lots of shooting going on lots of people being killed locally and nationwide. People are dying at a frightening rate right now. I mean, so much going on with violence in America. Shout out to Lamont Case, who says, whoa, who says, the problem is the Leviticus verses are referring to copying a ritual, same-sex acts, that were done in a nation that the Hebrews at the time had just left. The passages say nothing about sexuality. If everyone was taught to be heterosexual as read, then no one is homosexual and only dealing with acts of sex. And only and nothing about late desire, which is what sexuality is. Paul was a rigid Jew who was once of a strict Jewish sect who was only in his own way referencing Leviticus. So he's only referencing same-sex acts by people who are heterosexual and who are copying activities they saw by others who worship God through sex acts. Again, homosexuality isn't mentioned. Thank you for that, Lamont. So what Lamont Gates is saying, that people perform same-sex acts as a form of worship. Really? Wow, that's interesting. You know, but where did they get that from? Where did people get the idea that they were supposed to have same-sex acts? Where did they get the idea that they were supposed to have same-sex acts as a form of worship? You know, that part I don't get, because I don't believe that was ever presented. I don't think God ever said, listen, go out and, you know, go, men go sleep with men and women go sleep with women to honor him, to worship him. I don't believe I would probably need to have as much, you know, knowledge of this as Lamont Gates does. In ancient Egyptians. Because, you know, back in the times of the Romans, there was a lot of people having sex all over the place. And, you know, I know some of us remember the movie Caligula from back in the day. The movie focused in on, you know, it seemed like everybody in Rome was having sex. I mean, you know, just pull up the robe and go for it. Everybody wore togas back then. And I remember that movie, Caligula, that came out back in the day. It's been some time since that movie came out. And they talked about people, Romans especially, who were having sex with each other. And so shout out to Lamont Gates, who says that's why the Bible is against that. So what Lamont Gates is saying, everybody who's listening to the Ron Kelly Show all over the United States of America, what Lamont Gates is saying is that God was against people performing same-sex acts as a form of worship to him. So what he's saying is it wasn't that they necessarily didn't want people to, God wasn't necessarily against homosexuality, but he was against people performing acts of homosexuality to worship him. I think that's what the point that Lamont Gates is trying to get past. You know, Lamont Gates is a scholar in this stuff. I should have told him to call into the radio program, but he's definitely a scholar of this religion and Christianity. I don't know if it was his major in college, but he has a lot of knowledge about this here. So I understand. I definitely understand that he's saying that God didn't want people to have homosexual sex as a form of worship to him, that he wasn't necessarily opposed to gay sex, just don't do it in worship of him. I think that's what Lamont Gates is trying to say in regards to that. So that's an interesting point. That's a very interesting point, because there are a lot of people who say that the Bible doesn't talk about homosexuality. And, you know, I was always under the impression that it did. You know, the Bible did talk about men. The Bible did frown upon men or women, you know, being with each other. And I always thought that that's what it was about. Lon Gates says there's always, there were temple prostitutes as well. Okay. Okay. So people, so these women allegedly, or prostitute men and women, were in the temple, and the people went into the temple and performed sex acts, male with male and women with women, as a way of, inside the temple, as a way to, as a way to worship God. The misconception was that was a form of worship. Imagine that. I mean, imagine that people were having sex with each other, you know, homosexual sex with each other, as a way to worship God. Okay, all right. See, Lamont Gates knows a lot more of this stuff than me. I should have told him to call into the radio show so he could school me on some of this stuff. But there are a lot of misconceptions about the Bible. There's a lot of things that people, but even like I said, it's open to interpretation. Some people, you know, say stuff that it's not in the Bible. Some people believe things that are not in the Bible. Some people put their own personal beliefs, fold their own personal beliefs into what God actually said. So it's a possibility. If you read the Bible, you won't find any, you know, you won't find much about God actually telling people not to have homosexual sex, that God simply frowned upon people having homosexual sex as a way to worship him. So, all right. So that's a very interesting point, Lamont Gates. I'm glad that you indulge in the Ron Kelly Show just about every week, and you are providing some stuff that I wasn't really aware of. Because, you know, because we grow up, you know, many of us haven't even read the Bible. You know, a lot of people who go to church have never read the Bible. And again, you know, it's open to people's interpretation, what they think the Bible should say or how they interpret it. Because 10 people can read the same thing and the 10 people will have a different point of view, a different way of digesting the information, and it'll come out different. So my gay says conservatives are falsely targeting gays who have a legitimate desire due to being born with a sexuality versus just acting due to worship. And you know, when the conservatives are, you know, there are many conservative groups, the Republicans and conservatives, right to life groups and traditional marriage groups. There are many of them who frown upon homosexual sex. And then what they do is they tie their beliefs into God, like many people do. Many people who haven't read the Bible, many people who don't understand the Bible have folded their own ideas, their own misconceptions to what God actually said. So you'll hear people tell you, and not just regards to sex, but in regards to a lot of things, but you'll hear people tell you things about the Bible or things that they say is in the Bible that's not actually in the Bible. All right, so it's 35 minutes past the hour. Man, this hour's going by fast. You're listening to The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Got a lot of things to cover. Shout out to Atala Ali, who's watching. Did I say that right? Atala Ali, who is watching the program. So there are a lot of things in the Bible that people have misinterpreted, and what they do is they try to push those beliefs on other people. Much like the conservatives and the Republicans who are against abortion. And because now there's an abortion law in Kentucky, I believe. Now in Kentucky, in regards to abortion, for example, what they do is the law in Kentucky is that if a woman goes into an abortion clinic and tries to have an abortion, thank you for listening, Atala Ali. In Kentucky, the law is if a woman goes into an abortion clinic looking to have an abortion, the doctor by law has to show her the sonogram and let her listen to the fetal heartbeat before she can have an abortion. Now, you know that if a woman hears the heartbeat of the baby and she hears and she sees the sonogram of the baby moving around in her stomach or whatever, you know, that's going to discourage the woman from having the abortion. I mean, and that's the whole idea behind this law. And the Supreme Court has held this law up. So it's the law in Kentucky that a woman has to listen to the fetal heartbeat and see the sonogram of the baby before she can go on and have an abortion. You know, 9 times out of 10, a woman, you know, depending on who she is not going to have the baby. I mean, she's not going to abort the baby because you've seen the life that's inside of you, and it's going to be very, very difficult for a woman, unless she's like determined to go ahead with the abortion. It's going to be difficult for her to have an abortion once she's heard the fetal heartbeat and has seen the sonogram. So that's the whole idea behind the Republicans and the conservatives who want to force their beliefs on average Americans. This is part of the problem, you know, because Roe v. Wade, I don't believe, at least not in our lifetimes, Roe v. Wade is not going to be repealed. So what they're doing is creating laws to stand in the way of women who want to have abortions. In Texas, for example, and some other countries, some other states, the doctor has to have an association with a hospital. Now, there's a lot of doctors who are operating in this country who don't have an association with a hospital. And it's not that they're bad doctors. Some doctors just don't think it's necessary. But in Texas, you have to have an association with a hospital in order to have an abortion. Now, that took the abortion clinics down from like 30-something to one. There was only one doctor who had a membership or an association. I'm not sure what the term is that they use, but the doctor had a relationship with a hospital. So, you know, it all ties in. You know, the people with the conservatives, they want to force their will upon the American people. And that's what part of the problem in with the abortion. You know, it's just ridiculous. Because I'm not for abortion. You know, I'm against abortion, but I'm not against a woman's right to choose. You know, I mean, you don't want to see a baby. You know, you don't know what that baby's going to be, or what's it going to turn out to be, blah, 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 blah. And so I'm totally against abortion, but I'm not against a woman's right to choose. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk more about, I got a couple of things I need to squeeze in within the last 21 minutes of this program. So take a quick break. We'll come right back with more of this. This is the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. It's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Oh, no. I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Hi, I'm Amanda Pete. Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked some tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. I urge you to get the facts. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Thank you.
A message from the American Academy of Pediatrics and VaccinateYourBaby.org.
And we are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com. Believe it or not, people are still refusing to vaccinate their kids. It's just, you know, where do they find these people? I was listening to somebody today on the radio, and people were vehement about giving their child vaccinations, you know. And if a child's not vaccinated, he can spread disease. That's just the bottom line. So, you know, it's just so ridiculous. It's another thing that the people are using the Bible, they're using religion as an excuse not to vaccinate their children, you know, which I think is just completely ridiculous. Because once again, if you are not vaccinating your child, you are putting other children at risk. So if you're not going to vaccinate your kid, just keep him home. Don't send him to school because he's going to cause a problem for other children, which I think is like really ridiculous. So, you know, we have our black politicians. You know, Hakeem Jeffries and so many other people, African-Americans in the Congress, and just a handful, a couple in the Senate. And we have our black politicians. So, you know, you hear a lot about people talking about, yes, please vaccinate. That's right. Shout out to Tala Ali. Yes, vaccinate. So we have the Trump administration is moving to remove 700,000 people from food stamps. This is the reverse. What Donald Trump is doing and the Republicans and the conservatives, what they're doing is the reverse of stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. What they're doing is stealing from the poor and giving to the rich. You see what happened with the corporate tax that went down, went from 35% to 21%. And when Donald Trump got that law passed to drop the corporate rate, a lot of these big companies, Apple and Google, reaped millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that they saved. Now, the idea behind it was that the companies would hire more people. They would, you know, build more factories, which actually didn't happen. And then what happened was after they went ahead and cut the corporate tax, which put more money in the pockets of billionaires, they, you know, if you look at your, you know, what happened was then they cut all the deductions that the average Joe, like me and you, were able to use for to save money on taxes. So, you know, he gave billions to the rich and took money from the poor. And see, this is what's happening, and it's continued to happen. Now, you don't know what's going on is that now the Trump administration is moving to remove 700,000 people from food stamps. So this is a couple of weeks ago that the Trump administration said that it would make it harder for states to keep residents in the food stamp program. It's a move that's projected to end benefits for nearly 700,000 people who really need this money now. He argued that many Americans receiving food stamps through the SNAP program do not need it, given the strong economy and low unemployment. The SNAP program, as some of you know, provides free food to 36 million Americans. Now, 700,000 people might seem like a small amount, maybe a small percentage of the folks who are receiving food stamps. But what they did now, they finalized a rule that tightens the guidelines on when and where states can waive limits on how long certain residents can receive benefits. The changes will move more able-bodied adults into the workplace, the Agriculture Secretary says. Now, but what they're saying is that people who are able to work are receiving food stamps. This is what the Trump administration is saying, because the unemployment rate is only 2.5%. But at the moment, it's 2.5%. Now, the United States generally limits the amount of time that adults ages 18 to 49 who do not have dependents or a disability can receive food stamps to 3 months in a 36-month period unless they meet certain work requirements. Now, states can apply for waivers to this time limit due to tough economic conditions. However, counties with an unemployment rate as low as 2.5% have been included in the waived areas. but the United States Department of Agriculture runs SNAP. Now, what they're saying is everybody who can work needs to work. And, you know, and I kind of agree with that. People who can work need to work. But see, but the problem is, you know, a lot of these jobs don't provide a living wage. Many of these jobs, you know, they talk about working at Target and some of these other places, Walmart, which pays nothing. In many cases, they don't even provide health care. There's no or low health care. There's with these giant deductibles that most people can't afford anyway. And many of the, like Amazon, for example, like where there's no union, and he's making millions and millions and millions and billions of dollars, and they're not providing health care to the people, and the wages are generally low, you know? So, see, this is all a part of the effort of the Trump administration to leave behind folks who don't have what it takes. It takes a lot of money to live in America. You know, people come here, people go back to Mexico. Like, I don't want to be here because it takes a lot of money. Thank you, Shaw Williams. It takes a lot of money to live in the United States of America. Now, what they're saying, the latest rule will take effect next year. We're talking about 2020. And it will save the U.S. government $5.5 billion over 5 years by removing about 688,000 people from food stamps. Now, this is just a tip of the iceberg, y'all. This is just the tip of the iceberg. You see, we have our African-American senators. We have our African-American congressmen, mayors, and stuff like that. And this stuff still goes on. When President Obama was the president of the United States for those 8 years, there's a lot of folks who are indifferent to what they think that Obama should have done. But see, but Obama wasn't going to do things just for black people. See, that's the problem. Obama didn't just do things for black folks. He did what he thought was best for everybody, because I don't know if he was afraid or, you know, or he thought he would get some pushback from folks. But Obama, his policies were across the board, white, black, Hispanic, whoever. It wasn't just for black people. So there are a lot of folks who are indifferent to President Obama. And many folks say he didn't do nothing. You know, he didn't do anything for black folks. And President Obama didn't do anything specifically for black folks. The measures that he passed as far as, predatory loans and some of the other stuff that credit card people or people who own the credit card companies would have to put on the statement if you pay the minimum payment on your credit card, for example, how long would it take for you to pay off your loan, which sometimes it was years, only for, you know, less than $1,000. But, you know, many of those policies that President Obama put in place were removed as soon as Trump, you know, walked into the White House. Almost immediately, executive orders removing all of these things and making it okay that things that were friendly to the companies. That's exactly what happened. So we have our black politicians, and I'm telling you, you know, people are, you know, you hear people talking about go out and vote. And, you know, I'm not saying that people shouldn't vote, but we have a lot of black politicians. Thank you, brother. Shaw Williams. Thank you, brother. I'm not saying that we shouldn't vote. Well, there's a lot of black folks who are not really doing nothing. You know, you have, and I'm not saying anybody in particular, but we have a lot of black people who are in positions who are not doing anything or who are unable to do anything because they don't have the majority. You see, because when you vote somebody into Congress, there's 400 and something other people. Just like if you vote somebody into a council, city council, there's 9 people. You're one. So you have to have a majority. You have to have, if you're pushing something, you need 4 other people to agree with you in order to get, and even on the council level, small, you know, town, city, Patterson, Newark, whatever, you need to have, wherever you are in the United States of America, I don't want to slight the folks who are listening in Houston, Texas. There are people in Houston listening to Ron Kelly Show, Los Angeles, Salt Lake City, Utah, North Dakota, and, you know, folks listening all over the country to the Ron Kelly Show. So I'm not saying you shouldn't vote, but, you know, me personally, I don't see a whole lot of we're getting a whole lot of, you know, bang for our buck or bang for our vote. In other words, I don't see it. I don't see it. So, you know, we talk about vote, but I'm not saying don't vote, but I mean, but for what though? Because we still have these issues. You know, the plight of the black man has not changed in 50 years, you know, unless you can rap or bounce a basketball or if you can play football sports, you know, for the most part. And it's not all on the government, the reason why black folks have not progressed. I mean, part of it is us too. Part of it is a crab in the bucket syndrome. Part of it is, you know, that we can't get along. Part of it is that we can't work together because you may not like this person. You may not like that person. You know, I don't like you, so I'm not going to work with you. See, that's what you got to, you know, see, that's the advantage the other ethnic groups have over us, because other ethnic groups, they can hate each other, but they'll work together to solve that problem. Once the problem's over, then they'll go back to hating each other. I'm not saying that people should hate each other, but that's how it is. But in black community, if I don't like you, I'm not dealing with you, I'm not talking to you, you know, my problems with you is bigger than our collective problem. So I'm not dealing with you. I'm not talking to you. I don't like you. And see, that's what happens in the African-American community with us, with other ethnic groups are thriving. You see, yeah, I mean, you know, and that old, the white man keeping me down, you know, that's nonsense, you know. That's defeatist attitude, basically, because if you're thinking that some ethnic group is holding you down, then what are you going to do? Nothing. You're just going to just not do nothing. You know, the white man's holding me down, or, you know, so I'm not going to do nothing. You know, we have to stop thinking like that. You know, you see it on Facebook, people fighting with each other, black folks. You don't see white folks doing that. Black folks fighting with each other, arguing over stupid nonsense. You know, Facebook is a public entity. And if you post something, if somebody want to say something on Facebook about what you post, they can say it. You don't have no control over, you know, if somebody wants to change the narrative, if somebody doesn't want to talk about what you were talking about, you can't control that. And we get offended by things people say, just small, stupid stuff. We get offended because somebody said something contrary to what I was trying to say, or they didn't, you know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You know, don't like the Jews. People see the Jews, you know, the brouhaha is finally calming down on the situation that took place in Jersey City. And I think it was blown up to a degree. I mean, yeah, I mean, peace be upon the folks who passed away, including the two gunmen who lost their lives. Loss of life is loss of life. But, you know, the brouhaha behind that is finally starting to calm down. They're saying that there was a yeshiva. Yeshiva is a school where Jewish people teach their faith. And so what they're saying is, you know, the narrative was that the two people who shot who went into the Jewish deli and killed those people. Well, they, you know, the idea was they went into the store first and then they were going to go into the yeshiva. Now that's just the most craziest thing I ever heard, because if you're if you're trying to make a statement, you're going to go where the most people are. You're not going to go in a store where there's two or three people and then go, you know, because you might not make it to the next place. And I'm not advocating any of this. But, you know, people are just jealous of the Jews. I mean, folks are just jealous of the Jews. They're just straight up. They're just jealous. You know, because Jews have more power in America than anybody. the Jews are a minority in America, especially the Orthodox, the Hasidim, the practicing Jews are a minority in America. But they have so much power that is unbelievable. Did you see what happened with President Obama? Now, President Obama didn't want to bow down to the Jews, but he had to. He had to. Because if he didn't bow down to the Jews, if he didn't support, and I think in his heart of hearts, he didn't really support the Jews, or he didn't want to be, you know, be kowtowed to the Jewish faith. But he had to, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have got elected. So he had to disassociate himself from the church that he used to go to with the reverend who was perceived to be radical. He had to talk down that church. He had to announce that he had disassociated himself from Reverend Wright. Because if he didn't, he would have lost. And you hear it all the time. I mean, people are just jealous of the Jews. The Jews got it going on. They're powerful, you know, and they use their money, because that's what rules America, money. You can demand all you want about what you want. If you ain't got no money, you're not going to get nothing done. And that's what America is about. America was founded this country is a financial, it's a republic, and it's based on money. Even back in the day when they bought the Manhattan Island from the Indians. I mean, way back then, you know, it was about money. You know, J. Paul Getty and some of these other people, J.P. Morgan, some of these other people who had lots and lots of, who were rich back in the day. And the people who got money are the ones who get a seat at the table. This is the bottom line, you know. So you can't go to Mar-a-Lago and sit with Trump unless you got money. Even with Obama, you couldn't go to the White House and sleep in the Lincoln bedroom unless you had money, even with Obama. So money rules this country, and the Jews were very crafty and very, and I'm not saying they did anything wrong, but they were very strategic because they understood what makes things move in America, money. That's what America is all about, money. And if you ain't got none, you're invisible, basically. So we have our black politicians who, in my estimation, are really not doing that much. They're just not. You know, what piece of legislation since the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act, what major piece of legislation that specifically targeted black folks has been even proposed? Nothing. Nothing. There's been no major legislation to the plight of black folks in this country. So, you know, we need to, you know, so the next time you're going to vote, you need to think about, you know, who you're voting for and what may or may not happen once that person gets in office. So I'm out of here, everybody. Have a great New Year's. I'll be back I think it's January 2nd, 2020, and we'll hash all of this stuff back all over again. So everybody, thank you so much. There's about a minute left to the program. So thank you, everybody. I hope you had a great holiday. Definitely be safe. And if you drink, get an Uber. Do not, please. I hate drunk drivers. Please, if you are a drinker and you're going out for the New Year's party or whatever, make sure you have a safe way to get home, because you're not only putting yourself at risk, you're putting innocent people who are minding their own business, you're putting them at risk as well. So everybody have a great rest of the holiday week. Have a wonderful New Year's celebration. Be safe. Don't hurt anybody. We'll see you back here next Thursday for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show, the very first one of 2020. So everybody, don't forget that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice, and that we may not have it all together, but together we can have it all. Thank you so much. I'm done. Mm-hmm.